Welcome to your weekly Tech Law 10. This is Eric Sinrod in the San Francisco office of Duane Morris. It's a beautiful, balmy day here in the Bay Area, and I'm joined by my constant colleague in IT law, Jonathan Armstrong in the UK. Jonathan, how are you today?
I'm good, thank you, and I'm in the middle of what is apparently being called the European monsoon, so we've got some very stormy weather over here.
Well, I'm happy I'm where I am and not where you are. But all that being said, we've been thinking about the situation with LinkedIn and the potential compromise of millions of passwords, perhaps. Jonathan, what do you have to say about that?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the news of the week has been this password hacking, and it's LinkedIn in the main, but also Last.fm, the music site, and eHarmony, the dating site. So I guess if you're at the same time using LinkedIn to look for a new job, eHarmony to look for a new husband or wife, and Last.fm to try and get a music collection as big as Eric Sinrod's, then it has been your week from hell, really. But as far as LinkedIn is concerned, obviously it's a huge attack on their system. Something maybe around about 6.5 million passwords have been compromised, but I don't think we know the exact extent. And I think, LinkedIn haven't been saying too much publicly and took some time to even acknowledge that the breach had occurred, even when these 6.5 million passwords seem to appear on a Russian hacker's site. And I think the assumption is at the moment that all three of those attacks are the work of one man or one group. And I think it's interesting for a couple of reasons. Firstly, I think just as a lot of the internet has gone social, then it seems that these type of attacks are going social as well. The worry, I think, is that if the same hacker has got all three sets of records, A, they'll be able to crack them, and B, possibly they'll be able to ascertain whether people are using the same password in multiple accounts. And if they are, then there's an assumption that they might be doing that for online banking and so on. And I think one of the worrying things, and a number of people I've seen on Twitter have admitted that they do use the same password for almost all of their online presence, and that obviously should stop going forward. But I think there are some interesting legal aspects as well. First of all, Eric, we've talked before about the new EU data breach reporting obligations. Bear in mind that the European Commission's proposal, and I should stress it is a proposal at this stage, is that breaches would have to be reported within 24 hours. And it's unlikely, I think, that LinkedIn had hit that deadline here, and they certainly haven't told the public in the sufficient detail that would be required by the European proposals what went on, how the compromise happened, who's been affected, and so on. Secondly, my wonder is, will it actually trigger a regulatory investigation in Europe? For example, in Spain, the AEPD, the data regulator there, has said that sending cookies is enough to give him regulatory powers. We've talked about this before as well, but basically European data privacy law works on either premises, people, or equipment. Now, it might be that LinkedIn don't have any premises in Spain. It might be that they don't have any people in Spain. But if the Spanish regulator is right, the fact that they've put cookies onto people's computers in Spain is enough to give the Spanish jurisdiction. But if that wasn't enough, it seems that LinkedIn definitely do have people in Ireland. And the Deputy Data Protection Commissioner in Ireland seems to have indicated that he would launch an investigation in Ireland because, again, we've talked about this in the context of the new EU data regulations, but many large US online operations are establishing some presence in Europe, partly to avoid the very weighty effects of European data protection law and pick a jurisdiction where they think that they can get a fair hearing. And Ireland, Luxembourg, the UK are the jurisdictions of choice in the main for that. So this will be an interesting challenge for the Irish regulator, I think, to see whether he steps back or whether he steps up and takes action. And then there may be consequences on some of the other U.S. Corporations like Google and like Facebook that have chosen Ireland for their European operations. And by the way, we should thank Brian Honan over in Ireland who told us about the Irish Data Protection Regulator's investigation. And I've just got two other quick points, I think. Thirdly, the Federal Trade Commission may have to investigate LinkedIn, I think, because LinkedIn had signed up to the U.S. Department of Commerce's Safe Harbor Scheme. This is a scheme that allows the safe transfer of data from the European Union or from Switzerland to the U.S. You register with the U.S. Department of Commerce, but you're then subject to Federal Trade Commission regulation for that data. The Federal Trade Commission recently announced an investigation and a proposed settlement with MySpace. Coincidentally, that's coming up for the final review in the next week or so, and it'll be interesting to see, having disciplined MySpace for its failure to meet up to the promises it made as part of its safe harbor registration, whether the FTC will be able to stand by and not investigate LinkedIn. My personal view is that LinkedIn, I think, are likely to be in the arrow sights of the FTC. And my final point is, partly, I think, because of that safe harbor registration, LinkedIn were also certified by Trustee, this business that goes around certifying some websites for their privacy compliance. Now, here we're talking about, what is it, a privacy breach, a security breach? Certainly, I think, within the ambit, possibly, of Trustee. Obviously, that's an entirely private scheme. LinkedIn pay them money for that accreditation. But will Trustee step up to the plate, and will they investigate as well? So I think for LinkedIn, because of the complexity of their business, it isn't as simple as saying, we're investigating something, we'll tell you what's going on in their own good time, because it seems to me that there are at least two or three regulatory or self-regulatory bodies that probably will want to be dusting off their briefcase and ponying on down to LinkedIn to ask them exactly what went on. I don't know whether you have any thoughts, Eric, from a U.S. perspective.
Well, I mean, there are obviously a lot of moving parts here. I think you've covered them well. We're a little bit short on time. And, of course, what I think the inquiring audience really wants to know, Jonathan, was how was the Jubilee for you? I understand it was the largest armada on the Thames since the 1600s. Were you on one of those ships?
No, I wasn't. I was involved in being a bystander in the beacon lighting, which was an amazing spectacle, I have to tell you, Eric. There were 3,100 beacons lit in the UK, and I was down at the time in near Stratford-on-Avon. So we sat on a hillside on a golf course looking over Shakespeare's birthplace, and the beacons were lit on all of the surrounding hills. So all of the hills as far as the eye could see, and it was a pleasant night. So that must be, I don't know, 20, 25 miles. All of the hills had beacons on them or bonfires. And it was spectacular. And you know, we British don't tend to do pageantry that often, but when we do it, I have to say, I think we do it well. So, yeah, good week for the Jubilee celebrations, bad week for LinkedIn, I think.
I think you do pageantry well. I was in Stratford once upon a time, if the audience cares, and I saw a Shakespeare play, and instead of the actors riding on horses, they were riding on motorcycles to somehow modernize the production. But that being said, thank you, Jonathan, for all of your helpful thoughts and interesting comments on the LinkedIn situation, which we will continue to follow. This has been your weekly Tech Law 10. Please listen to us coming up and suggest some ideas for topics if you like. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. We're password safe. We're doing the best we can. My email is ejsinrod@duanemorris.com. Jonathan?
I'm JP Armstrong at duanemorris.com. All that remains, I think, is to thank you for listening. Thank you, Eric, for the Shakespearean references. You speak aright. You are that merry wanderer of the night. And speak to you next week.
All right. Thank you. Cheers.